Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Since I'm a native who was born and raised in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's dive into these confessions of people I know and people I just met. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to this week's episode of the City Confessions. I am joined by David Lesser. He is a social entrepreneur, the CEO and founder of Numina, and he has a retreat transformation at home, and he will talk all about that in a few minutes. But hi, David, how are you? And
hi.
Welcome to my show. I'm so excited to have you and everybody.
I'm very excited to be here too.
Yes. And if you're listening or watching, you can tell he actually is definitely not American. But why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us who you are and where you are from and a little bit about Numina.
Yes, love to. I was born in London, so that's what you can hear in my accent. I still love that city. I also love New York. Mm. And as you'll hear probably later, clients in New York were a big part of how we wanted to provide something for people during the pandemic. So it was actually, New York is the city that was the inspiration for our little invention here, the Numina At Home Transformation Retreat. So that's very sweet to connect with you and to connect with that wonderful city that's very much a part of my heart too. I'm formerly the CEO of a real estate development and construction home improvement group of companies, and had a lot of experience of leadership, but also hit a kind of transition point some years ago now. And I decided that what made me good as a leader, which was the ability to see and support the emergence of people's unique gifts, I perceived that we could make more difference in the world. Rather than being the leader of one corporation, I could inspire other leaders to be more holistic in how they approach their people. Mm-hmm. And over the years, I really think we have made quite a difference in the lives of our clients and in the lives of the people they work with.
I love hearing that, but I have to ask, was this something that you discovered later on in your life, or like when you were a child and growing up, did you always have those like leadership instincts?
I was brought up in England, which is a very kind of like take responsibility kind of society, the good and the bad of that. So I think I was always brought up to feel like I had something to give. And I'm very grateful that was my upbringing. Mm-hmm. It was also hard in another way. You know, I never felt like I quite fit in. And for a lot of my life, I think I felt like an outsider. And so didn't really have the confidence. I was kind of a shy little boy. Mm-hmm. And it took a while for me to feel like I had something that was worth giving.
Wow, there's so much that we can go from here, because indeed, I actually just had this conversation recently with a stranger that I met at a cafe in Williamsburg. He was visiting. So he was like in awe of New York City. And I love meeting people, as I mentioned to you prior to the recording. And we were talking about the differences, because he grew up in a small town in Germany, and he's like super fascinated by New York. And you know, I love this city. I will be the first to like rave about it. And I have such New York pride. But sometimes in this city, as big as it is, it can be really lonely. And I feel sometimes I'm also trying to find my place in this world. And I don't know if it's an age thing, like I turned 30 in January. It's like a lot's happening. And I think this is a good segue to the at-home retreat transformation. So tell me about Numina. Tell us about how it got started, what the name signifies, and let's go from there.
Yes. Numina is a real English word. Mm-hmm. It compares with the word phenomena. Phenomena are things outside of yourself, mm-hmm. and noumena are inside of yourself, basically your gifts. So the word noumena means your unique gifts. Mm-hmm. And how I worked with people, I said that I was a CEO, mm-hmm. and now I work as an executive coach, mostly with CEOs. Mm-hmm. And for many years, we would always start a new coaching assignment with a retreat. So the executive would come to our house, actually here. My wife and I would work with them together, just one client and the two of us taking them through a 1 or 2 day retreat. And that was always such a great way to start a coaching assignment. Like you could do a deep dive, mm-hmm. and really find out where the inner shifts were, so that when we were doing the coaching work, ongoing, maybe 2 calls a month or something like that, we had really touched the important changes that were trying to happen for the person, and then supporting them to actually reveal those changes, translate those changes into real life. So we loved doing those in-depth 1 or 2 day sessions with people at our house. And it was crucial to what we did. And then boom, pandemic, can't do it.
Yeah.
And for a while, I changed my practice a little bit. I had my ongoing clients, and I was seeking to coach people without the retreat, and I really missed it. Mm. And started to think, I wonder if I could package this up, mm-hmm. so I could send somebody all the materials and send them the instructions so that they could actually do some of the work on their own. Mm-hmm. And then what I do with CEO clients is I facilitate it over Zoom. And we were doing that for a little while. Mm-hmm. And then, as I mentioned, there was a client in New York, and we just thought, yeah. you know, we could package this all up so it can be a do-it-yourself at-home retreat, which we didn't know that there was very much of that out there. Mm-hmm. Subsequently, found out there are a few people offering different kinds of retreats, which are at-home, do-it-yourself. But this is, I think, is the only one that's really a transformation retreat, as opposed to, you know, just a spa day or something. Uh-huh. And so we took the 5 key processes that we do with the CEO clients we have, and we've packaged them in this sweet little box.
I love it.
You want to discover your next chapter. Mm-hmm. And each of them has you know, materials that we need. These are a collage of photos that you can do to make a life vision, which was one of our processes. And we've had a lot of success with it. So people are actually getting what CEOs pay thousands and thousands of dollars for, and they're getting it just on Amazon for $139. And it's superbly gratifying for me and for the people who've worked with me on this. That we can actually deliver an in-depth experience that really helps people. And all they have to do is go on Amazon and buy it.
I do have to ask you, so like the transition from obviously in-person retreats to at home, I feel like people have to be disciplined, right? They have to hold themselves accountable, because it's kind of like do as you go in terms of like what kind of pace, how long you want to yes. sit with those questions. Whereas a call, if you hire somebody or going to a retreat, you're almost forced because you have the schedule laid out.
Sure.
So
if you're sitting in our house, we're going to be telling you what to do.
Exactly.
If you're sitting in your own home, mm-hmm. The instructions tell you exactly what to do. So we cover the discipline partly mm-hmm. by, you know, set this timer for 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then you just have to do something for 5 minutes. It's actually very engaging. So we don't have a problem with people halfway through a process saying, oh, yeah, I've got to go and watch TV now. You know, you're actually kind of touching mm-hmm. into deep parts of yourself and opportunities in your life. You're going to be engaged. You don't have to, you know, 3 hours isn't long for people to set aside. That's mm-hmm. less than a kind of a spa trip with friends.
Right, right.
And if you really do set the time aside, then yeah, that's the discipline I think you want, is to set the time aside. Once you've set the time aside, it's just, it flows.
No, and I love
don't
that.
Have to set, yeah, I know. And people don't have to do it all in one go. You can do the five processes. You can do like half an hour, take a break, come back the next day. It's better, I think, if you actually do take a time out of your life, because then you get that real perspective on who you are and where you're going.
No, I was going to comment that I actually do love that, because I feel like that in itself is a way for you to like truly set that fire in you and not be dependent on external forces. Like, I feel like it amplifies the whole purpose of doing it, which is to turn inwards and to really discover, you know, what your passions are, what your purpose is, especially if you're in a rut. And we were talking before this about the five, was it the five emotions or four?
Four, yeah.
Okay, let's go into
there
that.
Could be more, yes.
Yeah, there are millions, but you were saying
there are variations on the basic themes. Yeah.
Okay, so what are those and why are they important?
That's great. So I think people are driven in different ways toward a feeling of change. And first thing I want to say about that is that if you feel like how your life is shaped is not how you want it to be, I can't recommend anything better than simply taking half a day out. I hear people saying, I wish my life would change, I wish my life would change. And or I'm frustrated, I feel stifled, blocked in something. And if someone can't say, stop, let me take half a day out where there's no distractions, nothing else but time for me, I think that's huge. I just wanted to put that in so that you can feel. You know, the challenge I think for a lot of people in New York City kind of fosters this a little bit, is it feels like I'm too busy to do something that would make me more fulfilled. And that is such nonsense. So insist, time for me. I need to touch in, even if I feel good about my life, touch in, check in with who you are. That's hugely important. And then, we were chatting about how changes come about are often driven by one of these four emotions. Anger, which can be a feeling of frustration. I've got more to do, more to give, or I don't feel like I'm winning, or I'm feeling too passive, something like that. Those are all kind of experiences driven by anger. And then often shame. I mentioned how I was shy. And so allowing myself to be in settings that weren't conducive to me bringing my best. And so somebody getting to translate the feeling of I'm not good enough into something that's, I have a purpose, I have something to bring, and it's really important that it comes through, the confidence to be fully who you are. Sadness, obviously, sometimes just there's loss or some kind of disheartening feeling around. I feel that something's missing, something perhaps that I once had that I've lost, and I'm not finding it now. That often drives people into change. And then lastly, fear is very important in transitions. Often people haven't done a transition because they feel afraid, or they start to feel more and more stressed, which is a kind of fear, actually. It's an anxiety. It's a feeling that something's wrong, but it scares me. And I think getting clear about which emotion is driving it and supporting yourself to integrate the good that that emotion has to give you is a really crucial part of discovering your next chapter.
I just love this so much, because the whole purpose of my podcast is like when I have my guests come on and we talk about, you know, what they do and who they are, like I love stripping away from like the titles and like, you know, the labels, and it's like who are you at your core, and having those like deep, I don't know, like dive-ins of who they are and what's really bothering them. Because as New Yorkers or just people living in busy cities, we're constantly on the go. And it's just like what you said. It's like, oh, I don't have time for that. I don't have time to sit down with myself to do a 3-hour quote unquote transformation. You know, it's like, but they don't realize that that pause and just like the slow down moment is so beneficial, not only for like absorbing the present moment, but like you said, checking in. Like, I feel like none of, like, sometimes people, we don't live in the present. We're just passing time. If that makes sense.
Isn't that true? Going through the motions.
Yeah. So like, I think it's so helpful. Yeah.
And you gave me permission. So
let's do it.
I know that you went through a crucial transition to get to where you are now. What were you feeling when you hit some kind of like, I got to change something?
The funny thing is, I'm a very like go-getter, and I don't want to say that I'm like fearless. So like fear wasn't really like something that I felt, but it was, I was affected by other people's opinions, because I remember when I was telling people like, I'm going to quit, I'm going to try this. Like, I know some people were like, are you sure? And then that kind of puts out in my head. And then just, I don't know, like, I don't want to say I'm easily influenced, but it's one of those things when you want people to support you, but when they don't, then you start to question like, wait, am I missing something? Like, am I doing this? You know, am I going about it the right way? But then I think I always am very, I try to not outsource my intuition to others. And I think when I ask myself, like, why am I doing this? And I know that it's for me and my happiness and my, you know, it's my journey. It makes everything okay. Because at the end of the day, not everybody's going to like you and support you. Mm. And I actually wrote about this on a caption Instagram yesterday, because this is how I've been feeling, because I just launched a book. And
congratulations.
Thank you so much. I was saying that nobody prepares you for that journey, and how sometimes the path to happiness and fulfillment can be really lonely. And even like reaching a specific peak of a mountain, it's so liberating and empowering, but then there could be the sense of emptiness. And that's how I'm feeling right now. Like, I've had such a great high and success with doing this for me. And it's always been a dream of mine to be a writer. But then the calm down and the days leading after it has been really tough, because it's like, you also see the clarity in who supports you, which is really interesting. Yes.
Oh,
that's
so
kind
much
of what I'm going through.
thank you for letting us into that. Yeah. And I do understand the crucial nature of support in your life. And when the people around you seem to be supporting an opinion as opposed to supporting like the true essence of who you are from coming forward unconditionally, like however that shapes up, I'm here for you. Wow, I have worked with so many people about the surround of support that they have. And it's so important to teach people to set that up in a way that really is going to support them. Too many people, I think, ask their friends for opinions.
Wow.
And you end up, you're in the middle, and everybody's, we call it shoulding on you. Everybody's telling you what you should do, and they don't line up. And it's just like, I'm being pulled this way, I'm being pulled that way, I'm being pulled away from myself. And what I think we want, the people who love us, the people who are our support, our friends, we want them to share experiences, not opinions. And we want them to help us find our unique gift, to tell us how they see us. Not what they see us doing, but how they see who we are. And I'm sure you do have some great friends, and it's very clear that you know, just from knowing you this short time, that there's some great gifts that you're showing us already. Your your curiosity, your brightness, your intensity, wonderful qualities. And I don't know what you should do with that, but I know that the more you bring that, the happier you'll be, and the more benefit you'll be in the world.
Oh, That was so powerful. And I think also, like, I want to tie obviously my experience with the at-home transformation retreat, but I was saying that in our lifetime, we will always have different versions of ourselves and different phases in life, and we're always evolving and growing. And you play a specific character and role in everybody's story, which is something that I feel like we always knew about. But for me, I had to sit down with that concept and I was like, whoa, like, that's mind blowing, right? Because I don't really know you, we just met, but obviously you see me a certain way and my mom sees me a certain way, my friends do. And, you know, anytime you stray away from that specific role, it can cause disruption in somebody's story. And it can be weird, right? Because they're like, that's not who you are. Like, you're not supposed to be doing X, Y, and Z. Like, this is who you are. Yes. And I had to realize that that's okay, right? Because that's not my story. Like, my story is what I need to focus on. And the character that I play in my story is the main one.
Yes.
And that has been grounding me. And I feel like when you outgrow a specific version of yourselves, it makes people feel uncomfortable.
Yes. And sometimes their role in your life is to make you feel uncomfortable.
Mm.
So I know I have people who do that for me. Because I have an inclination, again, I'm kind of like, keep the peace, the British kind of sense of appropriateness, and don't disturb the status quo too much and so on. And when I get to a place, you described it beautifully, where how I'm growing is outgrowing the life that I'm leading. And then sometimes the role people have in our lives, in my life when it's a moment like that, is to trigger me. Is to make me feel unsettled, is to make me want to move, want to look at something that I've been afraid to look at. And allowing people to disturb you, allowing us to have relationships with each other that aren't just about you're here to make me feel good, but you're here to help me feel what's really going on for me, help me get to be good at feeling.
Oh my God. I think, like, if people hear this, like, and they feel some type of emotion, this is what they would expect, right? And receive from doing the transformation retreat.
Yes.
And that's why I love it, because everything just ties in with tapping into ourselves and checking in and putting ourselves first.
Yeah. And it's about transforming anger or irritation, frustration, fed up into power, the power to get things done, the power to make a shift. It's about transforming shame, or shyness, or boastfulness, trying to be more than you are, or not believing in who you are, transforming that into confidence, a sense of alignment and purpose. Mm. It's about transforming sadness into connection, openness to others, and empathy that can feel people deeply, can feel their pain and their joy. And it's about transforming fear into awareness, letting your fears tell you things, show you things that you might otherwise not see.
I love it. So I read somewhere that, you know, because now I feel like it's really it's been not cliche, but it's been trending, like therapy, right? Ever since the pandemic. And I personally enrolled myself in therapy since then. And somebody once said that therapy is a good way to understand your past, but having a coach or coaching is a good way to prepare for your future. But the thing that they both have in common is the present. Like, you are experiencing, right? You're experiencing both as it's happening.
Yes.
So I love that we're talking about, like, the whole coaching aspect, because I think most, more often than not, people associate that, like, what you have done with executives and, like, big CEOs, but it's like, no, you're the CEO of your own life.
Everybody needs somebody to see who they are and where they're going. I very much like that description. I think the coach's role is also to integrate the past into the future. But I am so grateful for therapists. I'm also grateful that I don't get to do that, because that is really hard work.
I know. It's really taxing. And
it's true, my training and this retreat and other things that we offer, they're all designed to help somebody find their unique gifts, fall in love with their own potential and commit to that. People, I think, want a purpose, and they often translate that externally. It's like, I'm looking for something to do that will make me feel good. But I keep finding that when people get who they are, they see what their gifts are, and they make it their commitment to bring that into the world through maybe many different parts of their life. That is the purpose, to be fully who you are. And when you find some part of yourself and find a way to express that more fully, a setting that's conducive to the best of you coming into the world, I think then you feel on purpose.
Yes. So I know we've been talking a lot about Lumina, but I want to actually tie it back to you as an individual.
Go ahead.
And I guess there are two questions. Like, one is what keeps you up at night, or like what is currently like on your mind that you are honestly struggling with? And the follow-up is, what has been the biggest challenge for you thus far? Like, what has been that moment when you look back and you're like, ooh, that was tough?
Yes. Okay. Well, apart from my cat Bodhi, who loves to go to sleep on top of me, keep me up at night, but it has a lot to do with, how do I get my gift out there? So I think I'm often thinking about, in my worst moments, it's like, does anybody even track what I'm bringing? Mm. And in other moments, it's more realistic moments, I think, is that there's something I've got that needs to reach people, and how do I present it in a way that can really connect with them? So usually that's what keeps me up at night. It's not that I don't know what to do. It's that I don't know if I can find a way to translate it so that the full power of it will connect with the people who may be able to benefit from it. So that's the first question. The second question, repeat again.
What has been the biggest challenge thus far?
I think when I left London, it was tough for me. There was a lot of conflict in the business situation I was in, as well as that feeling that you described very well. It's, I'm no longer in a setting that's conducive to me bringing my best. And to have the courage to disturb the status quo of my life, that was a huge challenge then. I was lucky, I think, that I made my first rebellion quite young. Mm-hmm. So I had a place at university in England, and I took a gap year and then chose not to take up my place with nothing else, no other plan in mind. Mm-hmm. So I'd had some experience of how sometimes I just knew that the path that was expected of me was not going to allow the richness and in a way you could say parents and older generations, the way that they were anticipating I would live a kind of wholesome life or something, just wasn't what was needed at the time. There was something they hadn't experienced that I had some kind of like compulsion to know that there's something for me that's maybe bigger or more significant, more deep than everything that society was expecting of me. Mm-hmm. So when I had it again, when it was time to stop being a CEO, I had some experience that taking the courage to leap, sometimes without seeing the solution, was really valid, important, not as dangerous as it sounded. Right. So that really helped me. Mm-hmm. For me, conflict has always been hard. So it grew me a lot to be in this. I didn't run away from the conflict. I stood up to the people who were doing things that I thought were unhelpful. Mm-hmm. I did all that. But once I had done it, I realized, I have something more to give
right
than the box of this particular role I was in allowed. That was a challenge.
Yeah. And what I'm hearing from you is like, it seems like you are living your authentic life and you are aligned with your purpose and like your higher self. But are there moments where you might like question the path you're on, even if it feels like it's the right one? Or do you think as humans, we will reach a point of contentment?
Yeah. Only about 1,000 times a day.
Okay. So yeah, good to know.
Yeah, I think curiosity is a beautiful quality. I had a friend who really helped me with that because we get together every week or two and talk about our lives. Mm-hmm. And he noticed that there was this repeating pattern. I kept questioning whether I was on track, whether I was not on track. And he helped me see that that's a beautiful thing about me. I'm curious. I don't want to be stuck. And that doesn't necessarily mean there's some problem to solve. It just means, I think all of us have that part of us that pretty much constantly is just checking. Hey, right. Is there something I'm missing? Hey, what might I not be seeing here? Mm. And I foster that. Talk about like great executives. They often have that quality. It's a challenge where it turns in on us and starts telling us there's something wrong. But if we can integrate it to the point, there's my curiosity. Isn't that sweet? There's my fear, you could say, fear that I'm missing something. That's useful. I'm glad I have that part. You know, I think a lot of these emotions I was talking about, before they are transformed and integrated, they hurt us. But once they're transformed and integrated, they help us. Mm. You know, like that anger you were talking about, it gets stuff done.
Yeah.
And you know that about yourself. Sometimes you feel kind of probably hot in your gut, or sometimes you feel stuck. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to make that a problem. It's just like, there it is. There's my gut. There's my power. There's the part of me that won't allow things to remain undone for long.
Mm-hmm. I'm so happy you're talking about this because what I'm hearing is like you're observing, like I see that, right? I'm feeling that, there it comes. And that has been a personal struggle because I am such an emotional person that I get attached to my emotions. And let me tell you, it is so hard sometimes when you're really in it because you identify yourself as the anger, as the fear, as all of that. And then having that even one step back and saying, okay, no, I'm experiencing fear and I see that that's fear, but that's not who I am. But that's difficult. Like, it's so easy for me to say that. And people can be listening like, yeah, I understand. I feel happiness. I feel this. But so many people, when we say like, how are you doing? Like they say like, I am stressed.
Yes.
Right. And even that simple association.
Sure. Yes.
Like psychologically, I feel like it does something to your brain and your mind.
Yes, to say, I think I'm feeling this as opposed to I get that. And I also celebrate the way you do dive in. I mean, it's obvious as part of you, you know, we're not meant to be like living life from the stands and watching, like watching a sport or watching TV or something. We're meant to be fully engaged. We're meant to be in the middle of the river. And it's very clear to me listening to you, you are in the middle of your
river. Well, let me tell you, it's funny that you say that. First of all, I take that as a compliment, but I always try to go deep with people and I can tell it makes them feel so uncomfortable, but like surface level topics, they just don't do it for me. I'm like, I don't care. Right. Like, just tell me who you are. And I love this sense of, like you said, intensity. And I do think that's another thing that has been a little hard sometimes because I feel like people, you can't force somebody to open up and you can't force somebody to go there with you, but that's what brings me joy. So it's been hard sometimes when meeting people, especially with friendships. I put so much effort in relationships, but I'm like, do you even know me? Do I even know you? But that's the whole point of getting to know each other. And I think it ties in with like vulnerability and trust and all of that. But yeah, it's just funny. That's just like, a big part of who I am.
Yes. No, I love that too. And I think the setting for our expression is really important, the kind of friends that surround us or the kind of opportunities that are around us. And I often have people come, you've got to believe that as a coach, first check in with people, they're going to tell me what's going on, and they're usually going to tell me there's something wrong with them. And people do sometimes tell me, like you just did, I mean, you didn't say this, but sometimes people tell me that they're too intense. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And they've had feedback from staff or something like that saying, it's just, I don't feel safe around you or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I never tell people to be less intense. Mm-hmm. I mean, anything I think that clips the wings of who we are so we fit in, doesn't really work long time. It's going to leak out anyway. You're not going to be able to twist yourself into something that you're not.
Yeah, for sure.
But the key is, can we bring in some part of you that may not have been playing fully? In the case of intensity, it's often awareness. Mm. So like, be fully intense, but pay attention to the impact that you're having. Just be fully yourself, but also watch what's happening for the other people around you. And it's not a crime if you've disturbed somebody, but how about making sure that whenever you do disturb somebody, you know about it, then you can clean it up, or then you can adjust if necessary, still be as intense, but be skillful in the way that intensity comes around people. So it's not like take something about you and make it less. It's about keep bringing the more, but bring more skillfulness to your intensity, for example, and then more of who you are, more of your unique gifts can come into the world. But this is not about trimming people so that they fit in somehow. We don't want a world of trimmed people. We want a world of fully realized people, being fully themselves.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I could talk to you for like hours. Like, I don't know what it is, but like this conversation has just been so, I don't know, like it's doing something for me that I can't really put in words. It's just, again, a feeling. And I hope like everybody who's watching and listening can also get that. My podcast is called The City Confessions. And I don't know if you saw this coming, but I would love to ask David if you can share a confession. But let me preface this by saying that obviously there's no right or wrong. There's no good or bad. And it's however you receive it. So the reason why I asked this is because it's kind of going back to our whole theme of this conversation of like diving in. And I think sometimes confessions are not necessarily secrets. They're not things that we are ashamed of or we want to keep, but they're almost things that we wish we could tell the world, right? So if you can share a confession, and it can be personal or professional.
Yes.
What would that be?
Yeah. Well, I think my biggest confession is that I like to hide. I think when I do come out, I come into a deep place with people. But when I'm done, like when I'm done, when we finish this recording, for example, right. I'm going to be like, I just want to go and hide.
Yeah.
And I really need my space. Mm-hmm. I don't always have to be completely alone, but I have to be in a place where I have to have enough time in my life, I think, where I'm not having to be anybody, where I'm not putting anything out, so to speak. I'm just like, I love to receive. You know, I give a lot in my life, but my confession is, but my favorite times are just taking things in, letting other people support me. Mm. I love that. And obviously, my clients are never going to know that about me because I'm in the mode of supporting them. But there are a few people that know that part of me, mm-hmm. that at least as much of the time in my life that I'm giving. Mm-hmm. I like to have that balanced with times when I'm just like open to receive.
Yes. I can relate to that 100% because I feel like I also come across really social and energetic and bubbly, but yep. I also really crave my alone time and the recharging, and I can't do too much of the same like social putting myself out there. And I need to like have those moments. And it's funny because a lot of people aren't comfortable with those. Like they want to be surrounded by distraction and noise and chaos and be in that like social scene, because when it's just them and their thoughts and their feelings, it's uncomfortable.
They're uncomfortable. Yes.
And I love it. Like I live by myself and it's just like a beautiful, beautiful way to get to know myself and like not, you know, be depending on other people. So yes. I feel you on that. And then just going off of that really quick. Every time I go to therapy, I usually have it around 4 o'clock. Like, I mean, it changes, but after my therapy session, I don't go out. Like there's no way I'm going out. I don't make plans that night. Like it's an evening for me to be in my own thoughts and feelings, because after, you know, expressing myself and going there, it's exhausting. And I'm sure it's exhausting in a way for what you do as well, because people are not necessarily dumping their issues, but you have to have that, like, I don't know what it like turning on something in you to be able to pull out the other parts of other people, right?
Yes, yes, indeed. And I can see how committed, how seriously you take your own growth. That's a beautiful thing.
I know. But I do think I'm a little
upset. Why you would need that space. No. Go
but
ahead.
I do think that sometimes when you're in this self-development journey, it can be a little, I don't know if I want to use the word toxic, but it can backfire you a little bit. Because I feel like you're so obsessed with this. And at least for me, my self-awareness is like one of my biggest strengths.
Yes.
But then I feel like I wonder like why people aren't also self-aware, or like why people aren't this way. But then when I'm an empath, I try to give people the benefit of the doubt. It's like a cycle of like wanting to see the best versions of other people, but also honoring kind of what they're showing you and not trying to paint them
right
in a better light than they really are.
Yes.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Yes, to be great, people don't have to be different than they are. I think that's really important. And that's why I like that space so much, because actually that's when I'm in touch with myself, which is not necessarily what other people appreciate or see tell others about me or something. Mm-hmm. But there's something really quiet inside. Mm. That's the full depth of who I am. And I can see that that's true for you. And feeling that isn't always comfortable.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm triggered. Like I mentioned, I find conflict hard. Mm-hmm. So when I get angry, I really want to hide. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Maybe that is the way I need to process my anger. It takes me a little while. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing wrong with that.
Wow. I'm just like, again, absorbing everything you're saying.
Yeah.
And I know that we are winding down, but I do want to take this moment to just send you my gratitude. And I hope you just like feel it for taking time out of your day to come speak with me and my audience. I do think this is one of like the most powerful conversations I've ever had so far. And it's my 7th season doing it. Okay. And it's people like you who are showing up in the world authentically and genuinely trying to just support other people. And I can tell just from talking to you, and we definitely need more people like you in the world, because you're 100% making a difference. And even this 40-minute conversation, like I feel like I've changed and transformed it. And even in the smallest ways, whether it's listening, whether it's me communicating and truthfully feeling safe enough to say whatever I have said, but it you truly have a gift. So I appreciate you and thank you.
And back to you as well. I really appreciated this time. I said that one of the things that keeps me up at night is wondering if I'm reaching people, wondering if I'm connecting. And for me, this 40 minutes of feeling like we really connected is very big for me. So you've also changed me, and I thank you.
I love it. So right now is your chance to plug away. So for those who are watching and listening, I will have all the links and the like information in the show notes. But what would you like to tell the listeners? And then also, if you have anything in the works for 2022 or any secret projects that you would like to tease, feel free to do so.
Okay. Well, I really think that your listeners would enjoy taking half a day out of their lives, whether it's a full half day or in pieces, but to actually discover your next chapter. It's so important. And so go onto Amazon, Numina Transformation Retreat, $139. I think there's a discount for your people on your site. Would just love you to try the experience and have a look at who you are and set up for yourself a conducive surround of support that really allows you to flourish and to find what changes you need to make internally or externally to give the world the benefit of the full you. So definitely Amazon.com Numina Transformation Retreat. That's one thing. And I'm also making an offer to all your audience, which is a free tool that we call the Gift Finder. So the best way to learn about your unique gifts is to ask people who know you well, how they see you and how they see the best of you. And this is a tool that allows us to do that, and it's completely free. And just email me, david@numina, N for Nancy, U-M-I-N-A, .team, numina.team. And I'll set you up with the free Gift Finder so you can have that experience. And I think my biggest plug is be fully yourself. Whoever you are, wherever you are, don't let anything, especially the status quo of things as they are right now. Don't let that stop you reaching your full potential and bringing the best stuff that's yours to bring into this world. We need you.
No, that is everybody beautiful.
Exactly as they are.
I know that you're talking about other people, but my final question for you, because I have to always turn it back to you, is what is your superpower?
I think it is helping people find their unique gifts and find a setting that's conducive to expressing the best of them. And I think I do that to some extent. It's not a trick, if you like. It's not something I do. It's not a technique or an action. Most of it is how I listen to people and how I see people. So it's the ability to help people find their unique gifts by seeing who they are for myself. That helps them see who they are. And I think we all do have that gift in some way. And I do want to just tell everybody, it's hugely powerful. How you see the people around you. According to how you see, especially your best friends, so will they be.
Wow. I love that you said that, because I definitely have felt so seen today. No, seriously. And that's another reason why I started this podcast, because I didn't feel heard and I didn't feel seen. And like you just said those words and I was like, whoa, like I felt so fully seen. And like, thank you. So that's just like a beautiful way to wrap this up, because again, I can talk to you for hours, but thank you, David. Thank you. I truly, truly, truly do appreciate this conversation. And for those who are watching and listening, I appreciate all of you. Again, I will have all of David's information and Numina's in the description. So be sure to check that out. And with that being said, I wish you all a beautiful day and stay tuned for next week's episode. All right. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.